everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And it was a rainy, stormy night. We can't do much yard work today, so why not record a podcast?
Sure.
I mean, we still have to get the mower out so the mice can leave.
Yes.
But we definitely have to wear shoes that we can toss right off because they will get soaked from the very thick and wet grass.
The thunderstorms last night were pretty great, though. I enjoy them.
Oh. I woke up and then I was like, I wonder if the power's going to go out and we have to evacuate four bunnies to the basement. How will that work?
Oh, it didn't seem like that bad of a storm.
No. So.
Just a lot of lightning, a lot of thunder.
Yeah. And lasted for quite a while. So.
It really did.
Let's see. We haven't done anything really exciting since we last recorded. Have we?
I think it was just a week.
Yeah, it was just a regular week. Got comics.
Oh, we haven't even watched Star Trek Strange New Worlds yet.
No. We were so busy yesterday just packing up the buns and everything.
Yes, so all four buns are here. Clyde is going to go back home tomorrow because the aunt is gone, so there's no one to take care of him if he stayed at home. And he has to go to a romp and spa event today.
Tomorrow.
What is time?
Yeah.
Romp and spa event tomorrow. Because we haven't been in a long time.
Yeah.
And he's technically still a foster.
Yes.
Will we foster fail? Maybe.
Yeah. And I think it's a hard sell for anyone to adopt a senior animal. Like, yeah. They're less likely to be adopted, and he is now six. Yeah. So.
He's at the upper end of middle age.
Yep.
And he's perfect. His litter box habits may not be.
Right. And you have to disclose that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easily adaptable.
Yeah.
He did pee on the blankie that you put down yesterday.
Oh. Which, it was wise to put a blankie there.
Yeah. So, like, it's just a matter of knowing where to place things and being willing to wash things a lot.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
A snuggle bun.
Yes. He tried to eat one of these issues we'll be discussing today.
Yes, Alpha Flight Annual Number 2.
Yeah.
He did not want it to be where it was.
Yes.
And he was standing on it when he gripped it.
Oh.
So, that's why there's a rip.
So.
He's such a good bun.
Yeah.
He snuggled up to me for a little bit and then realized he didn't want to.
Oh.
And then boop-booped.
Mm.
Maybe nipped a little.
Oh, he does do that.
He wanted to have a tunnel behind me.
Oh.
That he could walk through. So he was happy once he got a tunnel.
And I have to pack. I think I'm packing my checked luggage for FlameCon today, just so it's done.
Yeah.
And ready to go for later this week, or next week, I guess. And I only have to worry about the carry-on at that point, which will be great.
Are you going to be Guardian?
No, I'm not packing any cosplay.
Oh. I might be Hunter.
Yeah.
Or do I save it until I have the belt sorted out and the collar made?
Oh, maybe. It's up to you.
Well, it's our first one, so it might just be fine just to walk around and be comfortable.
Yeah. So we have a packed agenda, especially for Saturday of FlameCon. And it'll be nice to see our friends.
It will.
Be in New York. Maybe see some Muppets.
I hope we see some Muppets.
Yeah.
Hopefully our flights don't get delayed and we can do all the things. Drop stuff off. Take the train into Queens.
Yeah. Go to the Museum of the Moving Image.
I highly recommend to anyone who has not been.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's the whole permanent Muppet exhibit.
Yeah.
Is a Skeksis there?
Yeah, that's because they film Sesame Street right in the vicinity.
Oh.
Like, almost connected to the building.
That's fun.
Yeah, the Children's Television Workshop is there.
How does that work now that they're owned by HBO?
I think they're, like, leased to HBO.
Oh.
But I think all their facilities are still there.
I did see an ad for donating to the Sesame Workshop.
Mm.
So there's something still operating, at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, this week should go pretty quickly with Star Trek Trivia coming up, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very full week.
Monthly Star Trek trivia, which happened the week before Uncanny and now the week before FlameCon.
It's, yes.
It's very inconveniently falling this summer.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a packet week. I have to get that out on Thursday.
Oh, for the job.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive in. We have two very large issues and one regular issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was reading them with Clyde and I made it through two. I was like, I need a break to walk upstairs.
Mm. Issue 49 is called Flesh of My Flesh.
As it should be, because that phrase pops up a lot in this issue.
It's where we left the team.
Yeah.
So Madison being a body horror and Whitman
yes.
Knapp being another body horror. Well, Whitman's sort of splits into four different beings.
He does. There's not much made with his name Mannequin, but he claims that name for himself. And his future self gives out a lot of exposition.
Yes.
So, there's a protoplasm version, a Neanderthal version, his present self, and his future self.
Yes.
Who
we don't get their names yet.
That's true.
Yeah, so the protoplasm is just proto.
Okay.
Then you have Ape Man.
And, I feel like they reference. There's like a one-liner thing just sort of slipped in.
Yeah. Well, I'll remember the other one's name, the future one, at some point.
You're turning into me. A list is always one thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I was recording with Chad earlier today, and I was reciting some Alpha Flight history and totally fucked it up twice. So.
Oh, no.
I know. I need to text him and be like, can you edit that out? Because it makes me sound like an idiot.
And you wrote a book.
And I literally wrote the book on it. I only had like a little coffee in me and no food at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, you had.
Well, and I did not sleep well because of said storms. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Knapp is getting all the exposition. And I do enjoy how the future self refers to him. He is. You, who are present, which is a lot of our sounds.
Yes.
And then the power to release we who are what you were and what you shall become one day.
What a mess.
What a mess. So, protoplasmic blob, ape man, and a highbrow future man.
Highbrow.
I knew it was in here somewhere.
There we go. It makes no sense.
And highbrow seems to... I will probably be the only one who can speak out of the three of them.
Oh.
That emerge.
And he looks like the 80s version of 2030.
I don't know what that means.
Like, how in the 80s they envisioned what people in 2030 would look like.
Oh, the little circuit looks on his leg.
The
and his
futuristic tank. Glasses, the high fade up top.
Yeah. And so he sort of gives more exposition of, like, perhaps as you are, but not as you were, to do with the physical stuff. So Ape Man swoops in, throws body horror Madison Jeffries at Fox, and perhaps I should have explained, we may advise and assist, but you, from whom we have emerged, must formulate a plan of action and communicate your desires with specificity, else we may act as our ages accustom us to. Which is why Ape Man just chucks body horror Madison Jeffries at Fox rather than, like, gently carrying him over.
But at least he's in the armor.
Yes.
Now.
That's his plan. He goes over. There's a weird pink and purple swirly thing for...
Like targeting?
Olive Knapp. A little bit. But then there's other circles within
it. It's almost like the Havoc circles.
Yeah, so something happened to them as Fox flew away. Meanwhile, we have the battle.
Yes, so everyone is battling with Omega. Puck and Northstar are in strangleholds, and Omega's shooting projectiles at Heather. And no one's really...
winning?
Yeah, Heather's like, Purple Girl, use your powers, but Omega snatches her up and covers her mouth before she can order it to do anything.
And While I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, Purple Girl is only 13 years old.
Yes.
I feel like that's going to be going through my head anytime something happens with her
Yeah.
because there's some weird
Madison is
things.
such a bad guardian. Like, why'd you bring her? I guess, didn't she like force herself onto this somehow?
I think it was like basically a field trip
Oh,
to
because they
bring.
were just going to get Roger better or something.
Yeah, and now then he got merged with Lionel, and now he's the
And now it's
evil Omega.
Omega.
And yeah, Heather, where is it? Oh, this page. I should be ordering her to flee, not fight, but if Alpha falls, she'd be doomed anyway. As our leader, I've got to put the survival of the team above that of any individual member. And then she sort of orders, or at least strongly encourages Purple Girl to take action, leading to her capture and being smothered by a tentacle. Because Purple Girl's like on the fence and she's like, no, I have to do something.
Yeah, so then we get eventually Mannequin in all of the forms teleporting in.
Because that pink thing was a teleportation ability.
Yeah, so Whitman dislodges Purple Girl and he resuscitates her.
Oh, in the worst way possible.
Mouth
Like,
to mouth.
it looks like they're making out, and it's not like, what are you doing? Madison says something like, I don't know, you're claiming your reward.
Barf.
Oh, so gross. Madison Jeffries. You should know better than encouraging this obviously 20 something to be macking on a 13-year-old girl. It's not great.
Madison changes his box armor to better fit his own body and personality. He's like, I need it to look like not what Roger had.
Yeah, he's sort of embracing that he can also innovate. He doesn't have to just rely on someone else's blueprints. He has that ability within himself.
Heather rejoins the fight, combines her blasting powers with Madison's, frees Sasquatch. Sasquatch grabs Puck, while Ape Man retrieves North Star.
Yeah.
Roger experiences a moment of sanity,
He's
and he's
like,
like, oh no, I don't want to do this. I'm fighting my team.
I want to disentangle myself out of Omega.
And then Omega lobotomizes him.
Yeah, it's this weird, like, there was a Power Rangers episode where, like, it was the Pink Ranger focused one where a toad thing sort of eats the other Power Rangers.
Oh.
And they have, like, little helmet things on the toad's tummy. And this is a little bit like that, only so much worse because it's like a head straining to get out of Omega as Box is talking. It's rough. But then Box, or the new Box, Madison Jeffries, Box instead of Bochs,
Yes.
shoots Omega. Omega survives. And then they figure out that, oh, Purple Girl's released. She can use her ability on Omega. So she does. And she makes Omega fix Madison because the other team had no idea that he had been body horrored.
Yeah.
And then they're left with a conundrum what to do with Omega now that they've subdued him.
And Madison, surprisingly, it's not Heather advocating murder right now,
I mean,
although she does go along with it.
yeah. She's like, I'll do it. And Madison is like, no, it's my brother. I'll deal with it. And, like, creates a cannon out of his chest of the armor. And with a reesh growl, Omega is reduced to just a smoking pile of ash.
And the North Star, we get a little advancement here. Don't worry, it's paying off in the next issue.
Cough, cough, cough.
He doubles over in pain and he tells the team he's dying.
Because he had hope that Lionel would fix him, but now that hope is shattered. So, therefore, he just reveals everything. That he was sick before Pestilence kissed him, and that just accelerated everything. And, yeah. They go find Aurora, who is in a room of shattered tubes in the darkness, singing a song from the nuns to herself.
Yes, rocking back and forth.
It is not a great way to end the team. Like, Madison, like, lowered his head as if he was sad and then just walked through a wall.
Yeah.
Even though theoretically they were underground quite a ways. That was a detail from the previous issue that sort of got lost.
Issue 50, This Mortal Coil. And,
so many words.
Yes.
Which is fine. Like, at least you got the full...
You get a big story. So they are like, there's one hope for Northstar and Aurora. And it's from another Too Many Words story.
That you love.
X-Men Alpha Flight.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, the single rose is still here. Great.
So the goal of the team is to find the fire fountain that had healed Puck before and the others from the goddess Anodyne, aka Madeline Summers. And if they can find that fire fountain, maybe they can restore Northstar and Aurora.
Yes.
Because they just lost, slash, a teammate was murdered by one of their current teammates.
Yes.
So there's a smallest bit of recap about that as they get going to figure out, like, why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
There's Anodyne in her stupid headpiece.
Yes.
Has Amanda done Anodyne? Is it on the spreadsheet?
I don't know. We should ask her.
Because that headpiece alone feels like it deserves a spot on that.
So Box transforms into a drill.
Yep. They go down looking for it. Northstar gives a little bit of, like, yes, the fire fountain was great, except it killed all magic, like, the magic of innovation within regular people, but also if magic was in your being, like Snowbird and Shaman, it was killing them. He also looks real rough in Sasquatch's arms.
Oh, yeah. So, Box zooms through the tunnel and finds the intact Viking village.
Yeah.
It's there, but Loki had a little security device installed, and he's like, beep, 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 oh, someone's at the fountain, and he's like, oh, it's Alpha Flight.
Does the Well of the Weird make beep, 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 beep sounds?
I guess it does. And he's like, I'm gonna fuck with them.
He is. He still has that ban from Those Who Sit Above in Shadow that he can't actively work against them.
Yes.
But what does he do? He works against them.
He's like, well, trickery.
I just can't not do it. It's in my nature.
So, as the team begins to descend, we go back to Mansion Alpha, where Purple Girl and Mannequin are walking around. They're like, it's real creepy in here. You know what we should do? Snuggle.
Yes.
Let's cuddle together. It's the only thing we can do.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Did you notice I moosed my hair? This house is sort of... And Purple Girl says, uh-huh. And so Mannequin says, this house is sort of spooky when Alpha Flight is away, isn't it? And she's like, uh-huh. And he says, think if we cuddled, it would keep any ghosts away. And she's like, it may take a lot more than cuddling wit. Ooh. No. Who built... Stick her through a portal, age up, I don't know. Make it not what it is. Because what it is gross.
Yeah. This is a really weird thing. Like... Bill Mantlow, some things he writes in this run, questionable. This is the top of them.
Yes.
The way he treats Roger Box, the episode I was recording with Chad and Gabriella this morning was all about Roger Box. Questionable how he treats a character that is a wheelchair user and the only way to get him off the book is to drive him crazy. And he...
With jealousy
after he gets legs.
Yeah.
And
because that was his driving force, was to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's unfortunate how...
So, like, those... The Roger Box and then this relationship are the two things I really dislike about Mantlow's run. I love a whole lot of what he does, but this does not need to be like this. Just like Heather Hudson... did not need to be 17 under John Byrne's pen.
Yes.
It would have been just as effective if she were a secretary and 22 years old.
Yes.
So.
One might say more effective.
Yes, because what oil executive or whatever has a 17-year-old as their primary secretary? Like, yes, high schooler, please come in after school and work from like 3:30 to 5. That's all I need. Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is real bad, and it just keeps on this track for a while.
Do we need to come up with some, like, we just say creepy relationship and then move on from it
I guess.
and not give it airtime, even though it's in it? Anyway.
All right, so back in the depths, the team finds the empty shaft that used to have the fire fountain. Aurora, she was scared of the dark, but she's a little better now.
She's more focused now that Northstar's going kaput. Like, there's a whole half page of exposition of her going through. Like, it's Mac who brought us together, and I was reunited with my long lost twin. Wait, is it her? It was not her. It's just general
Okay,
third
so
person narration.
anyway, she zooms down and she's like, oh, the fire fountain's been capped. There's this magical cap on it.
Yes.
And
But it must be good because there's beautiful women on the seal.
so they get it open. They work together as a team. It's propped open. They go in, even though it's super dark.
And yeah.
And then Loki just slams it shut.
Yeah. Madison turns into like a giant winch slash corkscrew
Yes.
to open it up. And he's like, bah ha ha. And he makes Northstar super thirsty
He
and
makes him spike a
feverish.
fever, yeah.
So as they go, Aurora's like, I will take care of Northstar. You all go ahead. She finds some water for him, except it's
It's real
evil,
scuzzy. It's like dark and inky.
brackish.
Yeah, like, sip this, brother.
PSA, do not drink water that can be described as brackish.
No, the rest of the team finds the fire fountain, but it's jet black.
It's evil.
It's evil. So Loki sends some dark elves after the team as
Because
they're.
that's the realm that they're in.
Yep. And the team is fighting off like a bunch of them. Puck falls into the fountain and plunges down, regaining his former height and age. And it releases Black Razor, Razor with two A's this time, to join forces with the dark elves against the remaining team members. There's a lot.
There is a lot, and it's not consistent because Razor here has two A's, but the more he swipes at Alpha Flight, he loses one of the A's.
Oh. So Aurora's using her light powers back with Northstar to dispel the elves that are creeping on her and Northstar.
They sort of look like some of the demons from Fantasia with Chernabog,
Oh.
which I love, but like have the big googly eyes.
Oh, do you want to know a fun Fantasia fact I learned this week? Your
That.
little black Pegasus?
Yeah?
His name is Peter.
Oh.
He's the only one that has a name, apparently.
Oh, that's fun. There's
Yes.
a figurine of him on my Xbox.
It's actually a Christmas ornament, I think, right?
It is not.
Oh.
There's no loop to put the
Oh.
hook. So it's just a little thing that sits on a mantelpiece.
Oh. All right, so.
Loki appears to Aurora.
And then they like force feed her some of the water?
Yeah.
Okay, this is where
Another place things get weird.
shit goes sideways. We'll get into it after we discuss the issue because I have literally pages of quotes as to what the fuck happens here.
Yeah, so the dark elves swarm Aurora, even though she's glowing and trying to repel them.
Yep.
They force her to touch Northstar, therefore negating her light powers, so her mental fragility shatters a little bit
And then
more.
they're like, glug, glug, bitch.
And then they give her the same water
And she's.
because she's like, Northstar is having visions, and Loki's like, you're gonna have the same ones too.
Ugh.
And we get their backstory.
Okay.
They see their dad sees an elf burrow after studying North mythology for years.
Yep.
He goes in, there are some elves dancing, scantily clad
The
in
fuck? Like.
sashes.
What was your reaction when reading this? Because mine was, the fuck is this?
I feel like it's not that far off from some of the myths, like
Yeah.
Achilles' dad and mom, like his dad wrestled the mom in nymph form, and then,
Fucked.
yeah, probably and without consent, and therefore Achilles
Oh.
came out. And then, but they have like their little dance shoes on, which made me think of like
Fantasia.
the red shoes where you like
Oh.
dance or die.
Oh. Or Fantasia.
With the fairies, with the changing seasons.
Yes.
That works,
Bill
I guess.
Mantlo rented Fantasia back in 1987 and was like, you know what? There's some shit here I can use.
So, Monsieur
Baptiste. And then he returned the Betamax tape to Blockbuster.
Did he rewind it, though?
I hope. He seems like the type of person who would have rewound.
So, according, in jiving with that myth about Leto, Monsieur Baptiste holds on to one of the elves, but she really wanted to join humanity, so she didn't really resist all that much, which also feels real creepy. And so
she's like, sure, I'll marry you, dude.
Yeah.
And then
she pops out twins.
Yep.
And then the other light elves attack because you hid your aura well, Danae, but we have found you. You must return with us. We cannot let our bloodline be polluted, which is some real eugenics bullshit.
And then it's like a car crash?
Yeah.
That they cause. Light elves, you have powers. You don't need to cause a car crash. You could probably just, like, zap them.
But they do anyway. And so they're like, wait, Danae, you're dead? Why did you die? Oh, wait, you wanted a mortal life, therefore.
Yeah.
She had one. And then Baptiste got the babies to safety somehow, even though it was a massive car crash before he died.
Yeah, and the elves just think everyone's dead.
Yeah.
So then Loki, in the present time, explains to Aurora that she and her brother are not meant to live long on Earth, as their elvish blood makes them burn out too quickly as mortals. What?
Yeah, it's responsible for his physical illness and her psychological illness, and I don't think mental health works that way. Also, all this talk about, like,
purity. I mean, I'm burning the wick at both ends.
But this whole, like, purity of blood thing is real Trumpy, eugenics-y, Nazi. Like, it's bad.
So, he then leaves the siblings in the dark.
They're Aurora, about to be eaten by the demons.
Aurora fights back and blasts the dark elves with light. And then she infuses all her light into him, thinking it's going to help cure him.
And it does.
It does.
But then there's nothing left for her.
Yep.
So the dark elves carry her away.
And then he zooms after her. He's like, they took my sister.
Yeah. He took too long, though, to, like, throw the demons off of himself.
She's dragged down a dark tunnel.
And he doesn't know which one. Also, the rips in his outfit have magically fixed themselves.
Light powers.
The photons don't work that way.
The remainder of Alpha Flight, not doing great.
No, they're still fighting more dark elves. They're Razor. Fighting Razor, who swished through Heather and swished through Madison Jeffries. Fun fact, the armor does not protect Madison from Dark Razor's sword.
Okay, so North Star is here?
He finds them somehow, and
oh, he zooms after the team, not after his sister.
Well, because he can't figure out which tunnel they took his sister.
That makes sense.
So he went down whatever one he could find, and that led him to the team.
All right, so
Madison is lifting up the big seal, trying to get people out of this doomed dimension, and they do.
She then seals, Heather, seals it over Northstar's protests.
Yeah.
So
because the runes, like, it's no longer beautiful women on this seal, it's
evil
horned creatures.
And Aurora, like, and Puck are both sealed in there.
Yes, they are all trapped. So they get back to the surface.
And Heather's like, I'm not talking about this.
Yeah.
I refuse.
I can't use my words right now.
And Northstar is like, wow, I got the vision about our parents too. Thanks, Sludge.
And so,
and Aurora's gone, and then he glows.
He does glow.
This is so weird.
He says, Loki had his little jest. His revenge is complete, and we came to cure two elfins and have instead lost three. And they're like, three? Who's the third? And he's like, it's me. It's me, Bish. He glows. There's suddenly a portal to this realm of the light elves.
He floats up to the heavens.
I finds the people who presumably killed his mom and dad.
And they're like, come on in, Bish.
And he does. So he's gone. Aurora's gone. Puck is gone.
Yeah. This issue, three original elfins, totally gone.
Yep.
I almost said elfin, but that's only two of the three.
Oh.
Allegedly. All
And so
right.
Loki is gloating. He's all about his well. He's like, bah-ha-ha.
They who sit above.
And then they show up to spoil his party.
Yeah.
And like, did you not think that thine acts have gone unobserved? Thou hast defied our ban against seeking revenge against the mortals. And Loki's like, wait. Let me work some little magics here. Because Aurora I'm sorry, he doesn't say women's names apparently. He says, look, the woman. And so he had teleported her, or is like right now teleporting Aurora somewhere.
Into a religious house, she does not remember who she is.
Thanks to my revelations, Aurora gave her life to save her brother. Purged of that elf light, she is a mere mortal now, whom life on earth cannot harm. Therefore, I have sent her memoryless, but her mind, once cleft into multiple personalities, is now whole. I delivered her to a place that she will be welcomed, sheltered, and hopefully find the peace that has so far eluded
So
her.
Aurora is now a nun.
Ugh.
Because the religion helped her so much as a child.
And apparently, this is how mutants work.
Ugh.
Were they? They were mutants at this point. Like, in the beginning issues, it was
Yes.
made clear that Northstar and Aurora are mutants.
Yes.
So then Puck
Is he's like, oh, I have a plan for him too.
Loki's like, look, I also teleported him to a land most dear to his memory. So he's in Tibet,
He's in
which.
Tibet to begin his life anew.
And Razor is trapped in the realm of the Dark Elves, so he is his normal age and body shape. And then, yeah.
And they who sit above are like, oh, good job. Just go through that door to the right.
It'll lead you back to Asgard.
Yeah.
And Loki's like, fools, bah, I'm gloating. He walks through the door and he's like, oh no, they did what I did.
And he's in the realm of the Dark Elves.
And who's there but Razor to greet him?
And then, as we close out the issue, the Omnijet is flying away, and Heather's like, did I do the right thing?
I mean, that's a lot of thought bubbles for basically, did I do the right thing?
And sometimes it's hard to be a leader. That's the summation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
So.
yeah, she's like, I know that other super teams also have these issues, but I has it been, I guess, the original X-Men with Petra and Vulcan and Polaris that were captured by Krakoa?
Yeah.
Like, that was an epic fail. This feels like an epic fail.
So, we got fairies.
We got fairies to somehow cure Northstar's elf AIDS.
Yes. All right. So,
Because it's very clearly AIDS. Like,
yeah.
they specifically say that his body cannot fight any infection.
So, in giving an interview to the Advocate about this whole arc, he explains,
Bill
he being
Mantlo.
Bill Mantlo, that it was decided that it had grown too large and unwieldy, and with John Byrne gone, we had the opportunity to recreate the team. He was told to write characters out. So that's why Roger Box is gone. That's why we lost three of them in this issue.
Ugh.
That's why Shaman disappeared a few issues ago. He's like, bye, portal, and then just walks through.
And Snowbird is gone. She's with her parents.
Yes. So this is really, and I write about this a lot and pull a lot of quotes. I'm not going to give all of them here because you should buy the book, everyone listening. And if you've bought it, please read it. It's on page 250 is where this analysis begins. If Mantlo wanted what he wanted to give Northstar AIDS, and it would give me the opportunity to deal with a frightening, sad, controversial topic in a comic book, which I had always understood Marvel was all about. Readers responded very positively and wanted to see the subject handled sensitively. When the company found out what we were doing, an edict came down declaring that not only could Northstar not die of AIDS, but we couldn't even have a gay character because it was too controversial. they were afraid too many people in the Bible Belt would stop buying the book and there would be all sorts of protests. I thought that was outrageous and antithetical to everything Marvel stood for.
Wow.
And he's giving this interview while he's still writing this book. This is in the mix. And Carl Potts, the editor, gave quotes at the time to The Advocate as well. And I asked Carl, I'm like, here's what you said. So is this accurate? And he said, at this point, I don't recall if this is accurate or if my quotes in the original article was me having to field any negative feedback for a decision on high.
So confirming that it was a decision from on high.
It was Jim Shooter.
Oh. Someone else referenced him not doing well.
Scott. With,
yeah.
Yeah.
Queer characters.
So there's a few more quotes in here that are worth reading and diving into if you want more information on it. But basically, the plan was AIDS. Marvel then either got cold feet because they didn't want to piss people off, or they're just like, no gays at all. Just, you can't do gay.
Yeah.
And
it's a thing that happened anyway to Marvel with the 1 million moms protesting against North Star and Kyle's marriage eventually.
Yeah. So, they made Mantlow pivot in the middle of him writing the story. Like, he already had some of the shit in books already published, and they're like, you need to change the ending. And that's where we got Elf AIDS from.
Ugh.
And North Star ascending to the heavens to be with the Light Elves. There's a trapdoor in here, though.
I get that it's a, like, you must do this in one issue and there's no space to make it make sense, so it just doesn't make sense. But also, it doesn't make sense.
And the trapdoor is on the cover. It's Loki.
Oh, to...
So you can backtrack.
Oh.
And it will be. But if you're just taking it for what it is on the page right now, it's elf cancer.
It's so bad.
And he's fine. He got cured. He by light.
By going to the place that his maternal family is from, but also his maternal murderers.
Yes. Maternal and paternal murderers.
Yeah.
All right. So that is how we get some of our most familiar and beloved characters off of the title.
I don't like it.
For a long time. We will not see North Star again. We'll get a little Aurora before we get North Star, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And this is what happens when I don't prepare. There's a whole, like, quest for North Star.
I mean, we love a good quest.
And it's not for at least another 2 years.
Ah. A little bit like the Magicians. We love a good quest.
So, annual number 2. Let's get a lighter side adventure.
There's a dinosaur.
It's called The Fire Inside, and I actually, just in the past couple weeks, have a brand new page on the gallery wall. I bought a page from Bob McLeod, who, very famous for originating, co-creating the New Mutants.
Oh.
He was inking this issue over June Brigman's pencils, and I reached out to him via Facebook. I'm like, hey, we were on the same episode of Grey Malkin Lane like 4 years ago. Remember me? Anyway, have any pages left from Alpha Flight? And he's like, I have one page left. You wouldn't want it. And my response was basically, try me.
What page is it?
I will go retrieve it while you describe our opening setting.
It's Antarctica. There's penguins. So is part of me hoping that the page you have is this one with all the penguins on it? Yes. They're such happy penguins. And it's actually just a Canadian research base on Antarctica. There's some sled dogs, because this is their natural habitat, which it really isn't.
It's page 38. We'll get there.
Oh, it's Craig and Primate, which is actually a better name for Mannequin's Neanderthal self.
An ape man, yeah.
And Avian, who's like a pterodactyl.
Yes. So I need to, like, get a bigger frame because I kind of, like, squashed it. Like, it's a little too wide, so it's not flush. But anyway,
it's fine.
His last remaining page, and I was like, yes, please. he forgot to send it for a while, and I reached out, and he's like, I thought I sent it, but it's right here in my drawer.
Oh.
But it's signed by him and June Brigman.
That's fun.
Yeah. So.
That's very cool.
Yes. And don't worry, we'll get to it. We'll describe it. Heather gets a little flower crown.
So there are these scientists in a base, and it's also, again, treatment of women in these books is not good. Like, disturbingly so. So this one dude, McGill, is here, and he's like, oh, this'll be the last time we have to hear this wind. The only thing I'll miss about Project Hotcore is having spent 6 months in isolation with a lovely lady like you, Shaw.
And she's like, I'm fucking engaged, okay?
And it's so bad. And because the dude in Barston in Blue, also gets in on this, like, macking situation on poor Dr. Shaw. Like, she has dealt with 6 months of these men slobbering all over her, worse than these sled dogs ever would. Metaphorically and physically, respectively.
Yes. So, it's a big lead-up. Like, we don't see any members of the team, and we're like, this is an Alpha Flight annual?
I was like, did I miss the title page?
Yeah.
And no, because...
That's page 8.
Yes, 8 pages in. So, the research station shakes. There is a giant geyser of steam coming through the ice. And at first, I was like, is it the Savage Land? Isn't that in Antarctica?
Right?
But I thought it was, like, on Antarctica, not under.
I think something happened in, like, an X-book where it got covered up.
Avengers, we find out later.
Oh.
So...
And I read all that and I forgot.
The dude in green stays to radio for help, but then the whole research station falls into the sea. They are trying to call the Montclair. What are Canadian ships? Are they HMS for Her Royal Majesty still?
I think so.
So they're trying to get the ship to come rescue them, but all of a sudden there are some pterodactyls, there's a T-Rex, there are some cavemen. So what do the cavemen do? They brain the two guys.
Yeah, they totally beat up the dudes and kidnap the female.
Threw her over her shoulder and ran off.
Yep.
And the ship to rescue finally shows up. They spot a pterodactyl who died of the cold, which is very sad.
Is it a pterodactyl or a pteranodon?
Pteranodon.
I hate how they keep changing names for dinosaurs, and I know this is like an old person complaint, but like, we used to only have like Tyrannosaurus Rex and Allosaurus. And now they're like...
We used to be able to call it a Brontosaurus, and now the whole like family, I think, is more
then generic with Brachiosaurus?
It's something. It's very different from the big book of dinosaurs I used to take off my grandpa's bookshelf and leaf through.
I used to have so many dinosaur books because Jurassic Park, and like everything's different now.
Yeah, I used to leaf through them and look at the pictures and look at the little like diagrams of how big they were compared to a person.
Yeah,
and was like, this would make a good pet. It eats plants.
And there was like a whole series of books for like one per dinosaur.
Oh, that's fun.
They might be in the basement. We might have gotten rid of them. But, like, I had a whole series so I could read all about them. None of those names are accurate anymore.
No. So, the rescuers get off the boat, and they find one of the dudes who had crawled up next to a big dinosaur.
Dead dinosaur.
Dead dinosaur. He may be dying, and they give him some brandy, as you do in first aid. And... they're like, swallow some brandy, man. And he says, beware, leading into the title page, the fire inside. So, I don't know why the Omnijet is not good enough anymore, but apparently it's not. They are flying around in Madison Jeffries.
The box ship.
The box ship.
And so, let's look at our team. Who's on this team?
It's 4 people.
It's Sasquatch.
Madison Jeffries.
Yep. Heather.
Oh, wait. That's it.
Yeah, we got 3.
Because Purple Girl is Beta Flight, and we can only assume that Mannequin is also Beta Flight, because he's not here.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really know much about his powers. So, we get a flashback from Heather about Gary Cody.
Fucking Gary Cody.
Talking on the phone, and he's trying to get them to go rescue the scientists, but then everyone is basically picking up what he's not saying, which is, we only care about the research. We only care about this energy source.
Mm.
If those scientists are dead, no one cares.
How do you feel about Gary Cody?
He seems like a tool.
Okay.
How do you feel about Gary Cody?
You know what? I'm going to reserve my thoughts for a few issues from now. There's a Gary Cody centered story coming up very soon.
Is it? Maybe he'll be less of a tool.
No.
Well, yes. That was the impression I was getting.
All right.
So they're like, we'll go for the sake of the scientist because we are not doing what the government tells us to do. We still have our autonomy. Don't you remember from the last time I told you off?
It brings to mind a quote from 30 Rock from Jenna Maroney where she says, I'll do it, but only for the attention.
The meme that Scott posted.
Yes. Which so, I sent to Scott like a week prior in like a group chat about something entirely different.
So Heather's thinking to herself, so we left, but I could detect the uncertainty, the contempt in Cody's voice. Because even though I'm the leader of this team, according to Ottawa, I'm just Mac's widow. And there's a picture of her washing dishes with him in his suit, hugging her beneath a shelf of flowers.
They always had really good plant game.
Her plant game was so good.
Okay, so they're nearing the site of the station. A volcano erupts.
Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
Because below that, there's, but Mac's Alpha is dead, disbanded, and it has the original team of Mac, Marina, Sasquatch in orange form, Snowbird, the twins,
so Walter.
Shaman, yes, and Puck. And they're like, now this is our new one, and it's doing quite well.
Is it?
And it's just her, Wanda Sasquatch, and Madison Jeffries as Box.
I think one of them does very well. And her name is Wanda.
It's rough. Like, also coming off of issue 50, to have Heather say,
it's doing just fine.
It's doing quite well, thank you. No, girl, it's not. It absolutely isn't.
So they're flying along, and this is where... anything else before we...
No.
Okay.
They're flying.
A volcano erupts. It interrupts Box's electronics. Maybe just take a fucking jet. And the jet goes into free fall, the Box ship. Heather flies out, but she's beset by flying dinosaurs as poor Wanda in Sasquatch form is trying to pull this jet out of a dive. Like, oh no.
She's pulling which is essentially the robotic version of Madison Jeffries' internal organs, just like pulling up on it, trying
to. But then she is struck by lightning. So let's talk about the past 30 seconds.
Vindicator's struck by lightning.
Oh.
Because it's an ash cloud, because it's a volcano, and that's what happens. Like, charged particles in the air.
What?
Lots of lightning.
That's a thing?
Yes.
This is fucking ridiculous. Bill Mantlo went to the Encyclopedia Britannica on the shelf. He's like, volcanoes. And then it's like, see also. Lightning.
Because, Mount St. Helens was around the time that we were born, I want to say. Or a little bit before. So
there's, like, new science.
It was basically the cover of National Geographic for March 1986.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Lightning. Okay, fine, I'll forgive it. It's still very sure. Sure, Jan. There a volcano erupts and hits the Box ship. And then Heather gets struck by lightning within 30 seconds.
The most unrealistic thing is that the pteranodons are flying around within this ash cloud. Yeah. They should know better.
So, Box ship crashes to the ground. Sasquatch is ejected and confronted by a dinosaur. There's a lot of murder in this book.
There's so much murder, and Heather is very okay with it.
She's the perpetrator of a lot of it, which we will get to. But this is the first, like... We saw dead dinosaurs and stuff before with the guy cuddled up to stay warm.
And you feel really bad. Like, was this right after Empire Strikes Back came out?
No, that was 1980.
Oh. Inspiration for that scene, though.
Yes.
But you feel bad for all these dinosaurs. Like, this is not their natural habitat.
So then Sasquatch...
starts duking it out with this...
Box transforms into a mechanical dinosaur, like mecha dinosaur... And
like the evil Decepticon,
and Box clamps down on the creature's neck and kills it.
Yeah, it's like, I better kill it before it slashes me, because my metal mass hasn't changed. I'm basically an aluminum foil dinosaur at this point.
Yes.
So he kills this dinosaur, and it's super sad.
It's the dinosaur from the cover.
Oh, it was a cover girl. So then Heather wakes up.
It, and, it, well, before Sasquatch is like, oh, they must be surviving because of the geothermal warmth.
It's steam, not a volcano, but it's, which doesn't make any sense with the lightning.
Thank you.
A volcano and lightning make sense. A geyser, less so.
So Heather wakes up in the jungle and
with
she's like,
amnesia.
She's like, who am I? Where am I?
Why is the snake trying to eat me?
And
by reflex, she sticks her arm out, limp wrist, and nothing happens.
If she grabs a stick, beats it a little, then shoves the stick in the open mouth of the snake and runs.
And the snake can't get it out.
Nope. Body number 3.
So then,
not counting the humans, RIP, from the research station, because that one dude who was still in the station when it took a plummet, he's dead.
Oh yeah, he got Titanic'd.
Yeah.
So then there's a super cute Allosaurus.
It's a friendly dinosaur.
She's like, you eat vegetables, don't you?
And like, but then made there's a friend.
But then there's a Tyrannosaurus that shows up, or it's not. It has a spiny spine.
Yeah, so it's a something Spinosaurus. Else.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Back when we were little, it was a Spinosaurus.
I wonder what has changed. So she runs away and leaves her newfound vegetarian friend to deal with this predator.
Then there's a saber-toothed tiger, which she lures into a tar pit.
Yeah,
she's like, swings, here, kitty, kitty.
Swings on a vine, and then the tiger is left to drown in a tar pit of doom.
But don't worry, it's joined quickly by a Neanderthal that attacks her, and she just tosses that fucker into the tar pit, too. She's like, bye.
He is assaulting her.
Yes.
And so she grabs a vine, swings, and actually she wraps it around his neck and then jumps off the tree, so he's hanged and then flung into the tar pit with the drowning saber-toothed tiger for a slow and agonizing death.
And if you are wondering, wow, there's a lot in this issue, we're like halfway through this issue. Like, issue 50 I can take a little bit of umbrage with, like, should it have been a double-sized issue or not? Maybe not. This one...
should not have.
No, I feel this one is packing a lot in.
A lot of death and murder. Like,
it's still something.
Up until this point, I liked Heather. And then she just starts killing things.
On the frigid surface of the pole, Box turns himself into a drill. Just
again.
Like last issue. And he goes through the ice. And then he is consulting Wanda. And they're like, hey, we're not picking up any signals from Heather's suit. That means she's not using it. It's not being activated.
But there's still the thought of like, oh no, she's dead.
Yeah.
But we don't know, so we have to hold out hope.
But don't worry, we go forward several days.
And into murder.
Okay, yes.
Because now there's another, like, a very feathery dinosaur.
There's a giant bird.
As seen in Fantasia. And it is being murdered by...
she makes a bow and arrow.
She does. And she's saying this is dinner, so like... sure, if you can't find enough plant material to eat.
Here is where I take an issue, further issue.
With
then,
Heather?
So she shoots this bird down for a meal, but then she sees dinosaur tracks and just leaves the dead thing in the woods.
Oh yeah, that's waste. That's irresponsible.
So she follows it, and it's a settlement. There's a big pyramid in the middle, and she looks over like the wooden walls, and she sees some visibly different people who are about to be sacrificed.
Yes, there's Avian, who is like a pterodactyl. There's a rock man. And then another ape-man primate type person.
Yes. And she's like, I don't remember much, but I remember being alongside other misfits.
Yeah, some sort of sacrifice underway. The quote-unquote normal Neanderthals getting ready to offer up their village's misfits. And then something through there makes her think of Wanda, which, Madison Jeffries' Box, and Snowbird.
So this is where Heather has her little crown. Like, she took some time in the past few days to weave herself a floral headband.
Is she Heidi?
Or is she working out? It's the 80s. Is that her workout headband?
I mean,
to keep the sweat off of her costume brow.
She went to the same tailor as Savage Land Rogue. Like, it's just a bikini swimsuit thing. No sleeves, no legs. Like, choices were made. So yeah, she goes on up. She frees the avian. She shoots the person about to stab the primate guy. And she effects a little jailbreak. The people that she rescues are speaking a different language than her. But Craig, once Avian lifts him off of the little island of lava that he's about to be melted into, throws some of the lava up onto one of the huts to create a distraction. And the four of them all run away. Heather, the primate, Craig, and the Avian. And they'll go where no one can ever find us.
Box and Sasquatch breach the barrier.
They see what's happening in the village. They're very confused.
They are like 3 minutes behind her.
Yeah. Because no one will find us. And in the narration box, it says foe nor friend. But who do Sasquatch and Box find?
It's the female researcher.
It's the female researcher who also went to the same tailor as Rogue.
Yes. She's crawling around like she's on the cover of a 90 or 80s metal album.
I don't know what that means, but sure. But then they learn that Heather's around. They can't find her, but they rescue Dr. Shaw. So the original premise for the whole mission, there's at least one success in here.
Yes. So now Heather begins an 80s training montage.
Yes, and it's the page you have.
Yes.
So there's Craig throwing a rock, there's Avian flying, there's Primate doing gymnastics things, and
she picks up their language.
She does.
So they can communicate, and she seems to remember things about the Savage Land. And although it was thought Terminus destroyed it all, that's right, Terminus.
Yes.
She thinks she may be in a pocket that survived. So things are starting to come back.
Well, she doesn't know the name Terminus, or the Savage Landers don't, but they're describing that there was this cataclysm caused by a big robot. And that's why everyone fled, and that's somehow during that cataclysm, there were some vents, and they changed, which makes me wonder, are they inhumans? Craig and Primate and Avian. So they're there, they go back to the village, and Avian...
They're doing like a patrol?
Yeah, she's scouting, and she sees the village's enemies massing, unbeknownst to the people who tried to kill her.
A rival tribe.
And so they're like, this attack is going to happen. I don't know how I feel about it, because these people did try to kill us, but they'll also all die.
Yeah.
So Heather's like, no, we need to defend them, even though they fear and hate you. It's just like the X-Men.
It is.
And so they go. Avian is struck by a spear, but then the original villagers see the people that they tried to kill defending them, and they're like, well, I guess we have to make a choice. We'll fight our enemies and leave the misfits alone. So Heather gets beamed again in the head. There's a lot of head strikes in this issue.
She maybe she's murdering because she has CTE.
Oh. Ugh. her power suit fires off a blast. That instinct finally pays off because it had been gathering enough power, even though she shredded her suit. And that allows Dr. Shaw on top of Madison Jeffries' airship with Sasquatch. And like, she's alive! So eventually they come to the rescue. Craig and Primate come to help Vindicator.
And then her memories just flood back.
Yes, it's the secret. She has a vision of Mac with like a shadowy Primate and Avian and Snowbird and the two Box and Craig. And it's like, that's a secret to being a leader, Heather. One you understand better than I ever did is that your true power lies in your team. And she comes to, she realizes what happens. She finally gives first aid to Avian.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we'll defend this village, even though they fear and hate us, because apparently it's the right thing to do. And Alpha Flight flies off.
Yeah, so they're called Alpha Prime, and now they're in the Savage Land,
Yeah.
just with that village, no longer being hated and feared.
But also still sort of being hated and feared.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a great resolution to it. And we get the little feh
Yeah.
at the end of the issue to say it is the end.
So what do you think? I mean, Heather has murdered a lot of people in the past 10 issues now.
There's so
She
much.
murdered Snowbird. Let's not forget
She
that.
did. She murdered Snowbird. She set some kids on fire.
Yep.
She
She
think
thought she was going to murder them. Like, her intent was murder
she
them.
thought they were already dead at that point.
Yes. So
So she
she's
was
murdering these wooden people.
who were trying well, like they were taking over her
Yeah.
city. But then all the dinosaurs who died in this issue,
Yeah.
they did nothing wrong. That saber-toothed tiger was just looking for a snack.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You couldn't have just whacked it over the head with something to divert
I
it.
think the honeymoon is over for Heather.
Oh.
She is falling in the rankings.
Yeah. She doesn't come out great from here on out. Like, she.
Like continues on down this path, or like
There's not really a whole lot to bring her back up.
oh no.
Yeah.
At least we have Wanda.
True. So that was that. Two very large issues and one regular issue of
Oh.
Alpha Flight. We did it, Joe.
But at least Clyde had a good time.
Yes.
He
And
had
now
a
I need to get a new copy of Annual Number Two.
that's true.
Luckily,
We love
Alpha
the
Flight is easy to find in dollar bins.
buns. They just are so destructive in their reading habits.
They are.
They read with their teeth.
Yes. So let us know what you think of these three issues. Do you think that Heather Hudson should go on trial for murder? Do you
Yes.
think PETA should protest outside of Mansion Alpha? Chime in. We want to hear it. We will catch you next time with Star Trek Voyager Splashdown, but probably in 2 weeks, because next week we're at FlameCon. So
Who knows?
who knows? But we will chat with you later, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye.